just pray for me that the Lord will help me to have discernment and help have leadership on what to say tonight and how far to go with the message. I'm interested in what the Lord wants to say. In Judges chapter 14, we'll read this verse, these verses again. The Bible said, verse 5, "Then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared out against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And when he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well, and after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. And came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat." Well, like that. "But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Let's go to God in just a brief moment of prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God that you have given by inspiration and also have preserved for us, that we can with confidence know that we have a copy of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray you'll help me, Lord, tonight. I'm not interested in being seen. I'm not interested in making a statement. I'm not trying to build or sustain a reputation. Lord, I want to be your mouthpiece. I want to be like John the Baptist, a voice, just simply a voice crying in the wilderness. Lord, to make a difference, God, in people's lives, help me to be an influence in this day of compromise and liberalism. Lord, in this day of wickedness, God, this world is increasingly becoming more and more a wicked, ungodly place to live. Lord, even this country that once was founded upon Christian principles, Lord, is quickly, Lord, going away from God and the Bible and the things of God. Lord, I know that judgment, no doubt, surely is pending upon this country. Lord, we know that you have judged countries in the Bible. Lord, you've judged cities in the Bible, Lord, with sins that our own country is presently legalizing and condoning. And no doubt, Lord, you're going to deal with America. And probably you're going to deal more severely with us because, a Father, to whom much is given, much is required. Lord, you've given this country a lot of light, a lot of scriptural light. And Lord, that light given is light to be walked in. And dear Father, when we reject that light, Lord, and lose that light, then gray is that darkness. Lord, I pray, help me now as I endeavor to bring the message that you would direct our heart to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we begin a message or a thought comparing in Judges 14, the bees that was in the carcass of the lion, B-E-E-S, and comparing those bees to the B-E-S of the New Testament, the bees of the New Testament. Not just the New Testament, but there's that we'll find our first bee, if we get to that first bee, in Isaiah 45 and verse number 22. We'll look at that in just a little bit. Now, these are bees that'll produce honey in your soul. Bees in the believer. We're told to be steadfast. We're told to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Several verses throughout the New Testament. We don't have time to deal with them all tonight. We may just stop and just read them and then be done with it. Tonight, we'll just try to be sensitive to what the Lord would have us to do. But several times, God puts a command on the believer and tells us to be ye something. And He would require that. And we noted this morning several things about B. We noted that B is a command that is given to the people. When God says, be steadfast, that wasn't a suggestion. That wasn't a good idea. That wasn't an option. He's saying that as an order and as a command. And one thing that God's people, I believe, needs to know again in our day is that God has the right to command us to do things. Amen. I know we're living in a society that's got that rebellious mentality that says nobody's going to tell me what to do. And that's why we've got our prisons are full, our jails are full, immorality is on an all-time high, crime is out the top. Why? Because nobody is wanting to let nobody tell them what to do. Parents can't tell their kids what to do. Teachers can't tell students what to do. My friend, it's just a mess. We're in desperate need of revival, friend. Revival. We need to get back to the old paths. It worked back there, it'll work now. Amen. It's evident this modern effort is not working. I think we need to get back to the old paths. But I'm interested in the bees, in the believer. That'll produce honey in your soul. Let's look, if you would, in Judges 14. And I just want to point out a few things here, if I could, about these bees that I just noted as I looked through this this week. There in these verses, I just want you to note, first of all, that the Bible calls it a swarm of bees. Now, I noticed that. Did you notice that as you read this passage? I invited you to read this passage after you went home today and to allow God to show you some parallel thoughts between the B-E-E-S that is here in Judges 14 and the B-E-S of the New Testament. And the first thing I notice is they were in a swarm. The Bible says so. Let's read it. The Bible said in verse 8, and after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees. Notice that. Now, I think a swarm is many. Have you ever seen a swarm of bees? I'm telling you, they're wadded up and piled up and hanging down. Amen? And you don't want to mess with them, I promise you. But there was a swarm of bees. What do you mean, a swarm? That meant there's more than one. There's more than two. There's more than a few. There was many. What's that got to say to us in the spiritual realm? The more of the bees that you can let in your life, the quicker you're going to get honey, the more honey that's going to be produced in your life. When God says, be filled with the Spirit, be steadfast, be unmovable, be sober, be vigilant, be kind, be forgiven, only to name a few, my friend, the more of those bees that you will let work in your heart, thank God will produce honey. Amen. A lot of people's got the mentality, well, I'm just gonna go so far. I'm just gonna let God do so much. Well, you're not gonna have much honey in your spiritual life. There's not gonna be a whole lot of sweetness and pleasantness in your life unless you let God, listen, think about it. If one bee can produce one bee's amount of honey, then two can double that, and four can double that, eight can double that, 16, 32, 64, right on down the line. The more B-E-S that you let in your life, just like in Judges 14, the more honey you're going to get. Amen. Amen. Boy, that blessed my soul when I seen that. Just a little simple truth. I was reading, doing a little bit of research. I wished I could have done a lot more research on honeybees than I did. But I found out that in a hive or a colony, there could be anywhere from 60,000 to 80,000 honeybees in a colony. I'm talking about honey-making machines. Amen. Oh, yes, friend. And boy, just think if we'd line up with the bees of God's Word, when God tells us to be something, be kind, be fruitful, and whatever, if we'd line up with that, oh, what the honey would be produced in our heart. Amen. Now listen, this swarm is not just personal, what I've been talking about. Letting the bees in your heart. Letting the bees in you personally. The B-E-S, okay? But this could be taken collectively as well. Did you know I looked up that word, swarm? And you know what I found out it meant? You ain't gonna believe this. It means congregation. Thank God! You think that's got an application to a church? Do you think that we should draw some spiritual truth from that swarm of bees at the house of God, the congregation of the righteous? Oh, Lord, help us. I mean, friend, if we've got one or two in this group and we've got more, but I'm just saying, if we just had one or two that's trying to listen to the bees and let the bees of God come into their life and line up and produce honey at the Rogersville Baptist Temple, then what more could be if we had everybody? How much more honey could be produced? And let me just throw this out there, church, before you think that it's not important. I'll tell you, the more honey that these little girls and these little boys gets exposed to growing up in the house of God, it'll make them stick their tongue out at the bitterness and the sour things of this world. The reason a lot of young people, my friend, when they become teenagers, all of a sudden they become interested in the dance floor. They become interested in that Hollywood crowd. They become interested in that immorality bunch. Amen. Why? Because they hadn't seen much honey at the house of God. This thing's already getting bigger than I thought it was. Most people, all they get experiences in is fussing and fighting at the house of God. One thing I found out about honeybees, although they're in there, packed in there, thick, I mean, they're just crawling all over each other. They don't never get in a fight. They never fight over who's boss. Got one queen bee, runs the show. I hate it, ladies, that it's called a queen. I wanted to change the encyclopedia and say there's a king bee, but it didn't say king bee. Sorry about that. All of the males in there was workers. In fact, I even seen photographs on the internet, on the encyclopedias, where she was in the middle and all of the others, my friend, was turned all the way in a circle around her, watching her and looking at her and waiting on an order or a command to be given. All she did was sit there and got fat, amen. But I don't want to get on that because I don't want to mess the message up. But what I'm simply saying is, here they are, 60 to 80,000, and they get alone. You know why? They're not in there squabbling over who's going to make money and what is our purpose and what are we supposed to be doing. They're in there knowing what we're supposed to be doing is working for a common goal of making honey, thank God. And them larvae, boy, I wish I could have done some more studying on that. I wish I had a lot more time to preach on it. But that larva, friend, when they're still down in them little holes in the cone, you know what? Those mom and them worker bees and them adult bees, you know what they're doing? They're feeding them, my friend, that honey. Oh Lord, this is getting big. Y'all pray for me, would you? I'm about to have a spell. Amen! Oh, Lord, help us. You know what? When Brother Brooks, when that little larva crawls out of that sack or whatever he's in and becomes and gets wings and legs and a mouth and all that stuff, you know why he wants to get involved in honey making? He's been eating on it all along. You know why I'm afraid we've got young people coming up in church? They never want to get in this honey making business. I'll tell you why. They hadn't eaten on it much. All they've heard is sour fussing, amen, and bitter fighting. That's good preaching if I'm doing it. Lord, that's good. Amen. Swarm is translated 124 times as the word congregation. It's a shame, ain't it, of how churches does. Ain't it? Really is.
I know of two Baptist churches in our area. And if I'm not mistaken, a fellow told me about a third one right here in our area. Done split up and started another church. Fussing. What's happening right there? I guarantee it's a power struggle. Who's going to be boss and who's going to have authority? Hey man, somebody's will wasn't being carried out. Oh, but you don't find that in Hythe. You don't find that in that colony of bees. I may do some more studying on that and preach some more about the honeybees. But I got to hurry. If I'm going to get to bee number one, I've got to get with it. I'm talking about the swarm, amen. And then I noticed as I just read these verses and I just let God show me some stuff. And of course I'm thinking, you know, between the B-E-E-S and the B-E-S of the New Testament. I was trying to just think about the two together. And here's what I found out, number two. Oh Lord. Not only were they in a swarm, there's a bunch of them. And hey, glory to God, can I tell you tonight we need help. We need some more that'll jump in here with us, thank God, and help us to make honey for the glory of God. Wouldn't it be good if RVT have a testimony? Thank God you can go down there and get some honey from heaven. Number two, I got to hurry. Y'all pray for me. Number two, I noticed this. They use the body of that which is dead. If y'all was here last Sunday night, I had one more time preaching on how that we're crucified with Christ. Before the BEs of the New Testament can put honey in you, you got to provide a body that's dead. Not dead physically, but dead to self and dead to sin. And there's a lot said about that in the New Testament. Romans 6 will give you some great, great insight how that we're crucified with Him and we're dead to sin. The Bible said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Brother, when these bees made that hive, that colony, and began to produce fruit, honey, what'd they find? They found a body that was dead. Honey will never be produced in a body that's alive. That's good. I don't know if y'all got that or not, but that is good. Amen. The flesh don't like that. The flesh likes the honey, but the flesh wants to be alive too. Amen. But you don't get honey. Amen. That lion would have never had any honey experience if it didn't die to its old ways and to its old nature and to its old life. Amen. Only as we die out to self and sin will the bees of God's Word work in our heart and produce honey for our soul. Well, the Lord showed me this, Brother Carroll, and I thought it's good. If we'll furnish the body, God will furnish the bees. Hey, we don't have to go hunting bees. Hey, we don't have to serve notice that we're in the bee hunting business. Does anybody have any bees that we can put in the RBT and make some honey? Oh, if we'll just give the bodies, if we'll just present our bodies as living sacrifices, God will send the bees. God will send the bees. Woo! Glory to God. And when the bees come, you don't have to give them instruction of what to do because they are honey making machines. Them B-E-S's of the New Testament ever gets in you, you don't have to tell them to produce. But they got to have a body to get in. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's good. Good, 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 good. Here's something else I noticed. Number three. Of course, this is similar to that, but closely related. I noticed number three, the bees worked in that which had been overcome by the Spirit of God. The Bible said there in verse number 6, that after that lion roared out in verse number 5, that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Huh? Oh, the Spirit of God, of course, used Samson, and as a result, the lion was killed. Some of you would probably have some bees working in your heart if you'd kill some of them lions in your life. You say, but preacher, they're too big and ferocious, and they got big teeth, and they foam at the mouth, and I'm intimidated. Yeah, that's true in the physical, but if you'll let the Spirit of God come on you mightily, oh, like Samson, you'll be able to rent them as he would a kid. In other words, Samson probably looked over his shoulder, never broke a sweat, and said nothing to it. You know, a lot of people think Samson was sort of like me, kind of muscled up. But Samson wasn't muscled up. That was a little humor statement, amen. Samson, I don't believe, had big biceps and triceps and pecs and bushels and all that. I don't believe he did. I believe he is a scrawny looking little somebody, you know, probably just a normal man. Because if he'd have been muscle bound, I am muscle bound, bound to be one in there somewhere. But if he had muscles all over him, then it wouldn't have been a big idea of where his power's at. They'd said, well, it's in his arms. Let's cut his arms off. Or whatever. His power wasn't physical. His power was spiritual. And brother, the lion's in your life that roars out against you and you think, oh, God, I can't kill them. I can't kill them. Yes, you can if you'll quit petting on them. It's hard to kill a pet. Yeah, that's right, running your fingers through that thing that could kill you at any time. Amen. That line of anger, that line of ill will, that line of evil speaking, that line, my friend, of unforgiveness. Oh, that line of bitterness, on and on, roaring out against you. Let the Spirit of God come on you. Let Him empower you. You can kill it. I said the bees used that which had been overcome by the Spirit of God. You don't have to be defeated by the lions that roars out against you. Of course, we know who the chief lion is. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Verse 8, be sober. That's one of our bees we're going to get to one of these days. Be sober. Be vigilant. There's another bee. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You say, preacher, I can't handle the lion of the flesh. I can't handle the lion of the world. I can't handle the lion of the devil. Oh, you can in the flesh. But if the Spirit of God, amen, would fill you and empower you, you'd have more than what you need. So the bees worked in that which had been overcome by the Spirit of God. And I believe this. The Spirit of God used Samson to do it. And I believe that God has used people in your life and mine to try to kill lions in our life. Amen. I know for a fact God used my parents. But man, I know for a fact God used my parents to kill some of my lions. Spirit of God used them, my friend, to kill some lions in my life. There's not a doubt in my mind. Brother Levison, there's not a doubt in my mind. I would not be here tonight had not it been for my mom and dad getting in the way of me going in an immoral direction. Running with a crowd that was influencing me in the wrong way. Amen. Thank God for parents. Loose parents does not love their children. And you can tell them all I said so. Loose parents. That is, they let their children run with whoever, listen to whatever, watch whatever, wear whatever, go wherever, my friend, and do whatever. Those parents don't care about the destiny of their children. All they care about is, they're not in my hair, I don't have to worry about them. Amen. Parents have. God used Samson to kill that lion. God used parents. God used preachers. Even when I got saved, I had some lions in my life. I know y'all don't believe that. But I really was. I had lions in my life, and thank God, I'd slide my feet up on that pew, thank God, and listen to the man of God preach. I didn't sift through everything he said. I'd get an altar. I said, the preacher preach it. I'm lining up. Boy, now you've got to give every kind of an explanation as to why you said what you said, why you stand on what you stand for. Hey, I want to tell you, there was a time when God's people trusted the man of God to preach what God said. And brother, when he'd preach it, they wouldn't chew on him and tear him down. I tell you what they'd do, they'd line up. And one thing that helped me to do that is I had a mom and daddy, praise God, that fanned the fire in that direction. Yes, sir. They encouraged me to do right and live right and so forth. Amen. Some of the same young people that got fired up in that 7-week revival I got saved in, they didn't last too long. They started carrying their Bible to school, public school. I'm not talking about being stupid. I'm not talking about disrupting classes and not doing their homework. I'm talking about just carrying their Bible to school as a witness, carrying their Bible to school to read when they had breaks, amen, in the lunchroom, and so forth. I mean, had a testimony until Mama, and I know one for a fact that said it. Mama told the daughter, you don't have to go that far with it. Started putting cold water on that fire. Started throwing wet blankets all over her fire. And it wasn't long till that little girl's fire was down to a flicker. All because Mama was embarrassed over her daughter outdoing her. See, a lot of parents want their children saved, but they don't want them too saved. They want their mate saved, but they don't want them too saved. How can you get too saved? Tell me. I know, praise God. Some people say, preacher, if everybody does what you say and preach and lines up with your preaching, they'd become so heavenly minded, there'd be no earthly good. Well, I've been doing this preaching for 26 years and it hadn't got me there yet. You can't get too heavenly minded. That'll make you no earthly good. That's right. The philosophers of our days told you that. You didn't get that out of the Bible. You can't get no more heavenly minded than Jesus Christ. And did it ruin him? Paul, Brother Mike, Brother Paul was called up into the third heaven. He took a trip over there. He saw sights and heard things over there. And God permitted him to come back here. Did it ruin him? So don't believe a word of that heavenly mindedness. Would make you no earthly good. But you can believe earthly mindedness will make you of no heavenly good. You can believe that part. Amen. Now, how did I get on all that? I know how I got on it. I wasn't running rabbits. We was inviting bees. The bees worked in that which had been overcome by the Spirit of God in a human being. Number four, listen quickly. I got to hurry. Hey. I've already dealt with this somewhat. I'll just mention it going to number five. But the bees produced the honey. They work together. Now listen to this little simple truth. Man cannot produce honey. Man can make milk and cheese and powdered eggs. God help us. Instant gravy. Instant grits. Fake eggs, fake bacon. They can make everything just about it that you can think of, but they cannot make honey. That's good, ain't it, girls? Hey, like my amen corner up here. They ain't said amen yet, but they're up here. I'm working on them. Pray for them, all right? Amen. But they made the honey. These bees produce honey. Like I said a while ago, if you'll furnish the body, God will furnish the bees. They complemented each other. Did you know honey? Honey will not spoil. It's natural food that won't spoil. Have you ever noticed everything man makes, if you don't consume it pretty quick, will rot? Amen. This milk that they put on the shelf today, it'll rot in no time. That's what buttermilk is anyhow, is old nasty rotten milk. That's right. I prayed God to sanctify it, and He said, ain't no way. Now, it does make good biscuits and cat head, cornbread, and all that stuff. Amen. Let me go on. I don't want to mess the message up. Amen. Number five. Here it is. These bees didn't produce the honey till they got on the inside. Oh, they could light all over that carcass and fly all around it and buzz and buzz and buzz. But they never could produce the honey till they got on the inside. You can hear preaching. My friend, over you and the preacher both passes out that until it gets on the inside. You can read this Bible. My friend, over the pages falls out. But until it gets on the inside. You can hear all about the spiritual. But until it gets on the inside. It won't never produce honey. That's good, ain't Brother Henry? I think it is anyhow. You can have church all around you. You can be exposed to good bee workers all around you. But until it gets on the inside of you, it'll not make no difference. It'll not produce honey. I just thought that was a simple little truth. Amen. The bees didn't produce till they got on the inside. God focuses on the heart. Amen. Oh, wouldn't it be good? You ever wondered how that... You know, Samson, he was passing back up through there. And he never forgot about the place and the event of when that old lion bit the dust.
Yeah.
Hey man, I'm about to have a bit. And he stopped in there. Hey, you know what? He might have just been walking on his merry way, going to the house. And all of a sudden he'd come through there. He might have had his mind on whoever, what was her name down there at Timnath. He might have said, said to myself, who in the world that is? That sounds like bees. And me and that lion scrapped it out here the other day, and I didn't get no bees' nest. I didn't hear no buzzing. But I believe I hear some bees. Oh, and brother, he went over there, and I want to tell you, there was in the honey-making machines inside the carcass and was producing honey. Boy, wouldn't it be good in RBT in Rogersville that if people drives by the four lane, amen, goes to work with some of the RBTers, goes to school with the RBTers, and all of a sudden they get around them. Talk to them on the phone. You know what? In other words, they say, hey, you got some bees in your life. Amen. Yes, let me tell you about it. I'm letting be kind work in my heart. I'm letting be filled with the Spirit work in my heart. I'm letting be sober, be vigilant, be steadfast, be unmovable. I'm letting them work in my heart. And that's what you're hearing. I want to be a preacher, buddy. When I'm preaching, people say, y'all are enjoying this hype as much as I am. You're having a time. It turned. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Boy, it's good. Where are we at? Number six. Oh, this is good, Brother Seals. I need to take a break before I tell you this one. Listen to this. Number six. It turned what was once strong into something sweet. You know when he gave the riddle? The part of his riddle there in Judges 14. In verse 14 was, out of the eater came forth meat. Out of the strong came sweetness. Amen. Forgive me, I'm having fun. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God says, look, he was strong. That lion was once strong. But after he got whipped, he wasn't strong. And the honey got in that which was strong. And now it's sweet. Boy, salvation will change you.
Yes, it will.
You'll let the bees of God get in your heart and work in your life. You may have used to been strong in some areas that was wrong. Boy, it put sweetness in your life. Sweetness in your life. And then number seven. Oh, Lord, help us. Number seven. These bees produced in the lion's carcass what could be fed on and what could feed others on. Samson comes out and he said, oh, I believe I hear some bees. He went over there and said, boy, honeybees. Before he knew, he done had his hand in there. Oh, if he'd had a biscuit, he'd have, ain't no telling what had happened. Amen? And some butter. But you know what he did? He walked up, there's the honeybees, there was a bunch of honey, and brother, before you know it, he had a mouthful. In other words, if you let the bees of God work in your heart, it'll feed you.
Yeah. Amen.
Spiritually, you won't be starving. That's right. That's right. Look at what he says. Get my eyes focused. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to have to get something. Verse 9. He took thereof in his hands and went on what? Eating. The world won't feed you. Come on now. The world can't feed the Christian. Oh no. Oh no. The world can feed the flesh, but it cannot feed the Christian. Cannot feed the new nature. All the honey that's produced by the honeybees. Pray God will feed you. And you know what? There's no wording here in this verse that said where Samson got him a good mouthful of that honey. Where he frowned and spit it out and said, oh, that's nasty. No. There was that element of pleasure and enjoyment involved. He was eating it and liking it. You know what he did? He didn't just get him a handful and fed on it. He took some home with him. Hey man, took some home to mom and daddy. Oh, I tell you, it'd be good if we'd get in a good honey meeting, amen, and get us some on us, amen. Oh, hey, have you ever tried to get honey off of you? Come on now. You can't eat honey without it getting all over you. Is that right, brother?
That's right.
Eat a honey biscuit, honey on toast, honey any way you want to eat it, it'll get on you. And when it gets on you, it's sticky, and you can't hardly get it off, amen. He had it in his hand. And he went on eating, the Bible says. And he took home some to mama and daddy. And I reckon mama and daddy asked him, he didn't tell them, the Bible plainly says he didn't tell them what happened. But you know they surely wondered. Now where are Samson men? We know of every beehive around here. And where he got that at? And we don't know it, it don't say it, but maybe somewhere along the way, Samson might have said, Mom, I got that out of killing some of those lions in my life and letting the bees of God produce honey in them. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is, he got it on him. He got it in him. Oh, 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 Lord, that's good, ain't it? He didn't just get it on him. He got it in him. And see, you don't mind getting it on you if you ever get it in you. Boy, that's good. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If you ever get it in you, you don't mind getting it on you. Amen. Or you ought to come to church Sunday or Wednesday, whenever our next service is. Come to church and say, hey, preacher, get some on me. Get some of that preaching on me. Puddle it up out here, praise God. We're going to get a handful of it. We're going to take it home with us. We're going to take it to work with us. Take it to school with you. Amen. Take it home with you. Take it to school. Say, here, here, get a taste of what we're getting at RBT. Here's what God's doing. Them honeybees. Lord have mercy. I'm done. I didn't get where I wanted to go. Oh, Jesus. Can I deal with one? I don't know if we'll pick this up or not. Can I deal with one? Isaiah 45:22, and we'll unhook right here. This is the first bee. Whether we deal with any more or not, I don't know. We'll just have to see. See what the Lord wants. But I've certainly enjoyed today. I am wore out. Amen. That's good. I like it. I'll sleep good tonight. Isaiah 45:22. Some of you know this verse. It was the instrumental verse, and I believe Charles Hatton Spurgeon getting saved. Look unto me. Here it is. And be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Huh? The first be that should get in your soul should be the be of salvation. You know, a while ago I told you that every colony has a queen bee. Everywhere the queen bee goes, the colony comes in with it. In other words, here it is. Salvation is the queen bee. Salvation is the queen bee, the first bee. The more the queen bee comes into your life, guess what comes with it? All the other bees. Oh, Lord. Be kind comes with her. Be filled with the Spirit. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Amen. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be forgiven. Be all the bees comes in with. If the queen bee of salvation ever comes, guess what? They're all coming. And if there's not enough room inside, they'll just plaster all over the outside of it. Because they're not going to leave Queen Bee. They're going to let... Amen. You know, when you see that swarm, and I mean, they're just hanging pat and stuck and thick and just literally, I've seen them dripping, just the bottom part of the swarm just start just falling off. And you know what they do? Now, I'm not too close now, mind you.
No, me neither, brother.
I mean, I've got faith, but from a distance. You know what I've seen it do? When a whole clump of them bees falls off the bottom, you think, well, they'd probably say, well, RBT don't need me down there. I believe I'm going to fly on over the road, over to somewhere else. You know what they'd do? They just... They just plaster themselves right back on there again. Because you know why? They said, we can't go too far, queen bees in there. It makes me wonder if a lot of people's got the queen bee of salvation in their life because all them other bees seemingly is nowhere around their life.
That's good.
Be holy. Bible says be holy. That's one of the bees we're going to look at one of these days if the Lord leads us back into this. Leviticus and 1 Peter tells us, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be holy. That's just standard Christianity. That's not far out, wild, off the wall stuff. That be holy, be separate, be sanctified. All of those and many more bees in the Bible, my friend, are just standard Christianity. Normal Christianity. But not too many people that you know and I know, not too many people have any of those bees. And it makes me wonder if the queen bee, the one that leads all them other bees in, is in there. They'll be in you. They'll be on you. I've never what they call robbed a gum, but I've seen it done. And they'll put on them big nets, head nets, and gloves, and big old suit, and they'll wade right in there. And I'm telling you, them bees is all over them. In fact, they have to put the smoke to them. I don't know what that does to them. Chokes them, I guess.
puts them out of their mind, gives them cancer or something. I don't know. I don't know what it does to them. But I mean, it's all over. And I want to tell you, if the queen bee is in you, the queen bee of salvation, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And besides me, there is none else. Look unto me, be ye saved. If the queen bee of salvation is in there, those other bees will be in you, on you, around you. And they won't go far. They might fly off. Just keep standing right there. They'll be back in a minute. And they'll be covered up with whatever it takes to make more honey. Oh, Lord, they've been out there sucking on some nectar, amen. They've had their nose, my friend, in a good flower somewhere. And brother, they've got it all over them, amen. And they come back and said, hey, let's make some more honey. RBT could have some more honey if we'd spend more time, thank God, sucking on the nectar of the flowers of glory. Amen. And getting it all over us and come to church with it on us and said, hey, preacher, let's make some honey around the house of God. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet.